Hello, and welcome once again to Health Tips from Janet. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed clinical nutritionist, and I'm here with lots of information so that you can support your good health, not necessarily wait for the symptoms of disease or an unsuspected diagnosis from your doctor or out-of-range results on your blood test, but rather you will have information that is in the order of preventing the development of dysfunction in all of the different systems of your body. So today what we're talking about are drugs that have the potential to deplete nutrients, have the potential to so significantly reduce the presence of different minerals or vitamins in your body that ultimately there is a health crisis that arises. And so one of the starting areas that we will focus on are ACE inhibitors. Those are drugs that are associated with lowering your blood pressure in a very, very specific way. So some of the names of the drugs would include Lotensin, Vasotec, Zestril. Those are some of the more commonly prescribed drugs in the category of ACE inhibitors. What's very, very interesting about those drugs is, yes, indeed, they work very, very efficiently to reduce your blood pressure. However, along with reducing your blood pressure, you have the potential for reducing zinc. When zinc is in an unbalanced level in your body, your immune system is at risk. Your immune system is not as vigilant as it might be when you would be exposed to a virus or a bacteria or any sort of pathogen. Zinc is also involved with hundreds of different detoxifying pathways. So after your immune system has properly identified an invading pathogen, what the zinc has the capacity to do is move that metabolic debris out of your body. Crucially important for overall stability in all of the different systems of your body. Very, very important. Irreplaceable with regard to your immune system. The other depletion typically associated with ACE inhibitors is sodium. And so a lot of people hearing this will say, well, I really don't want my sodium to be high. The truth of the matter is, if you're walking around feeling very sluggish, if your feet feel like they have lead in them, if you just don't have the energy to do the different things that you would like to accomplish over the course of the day, sodium depletion can be one of the contributing factors to that extreme fatigue. What you want is a proper balance between sodium and potassium. Potassium being very, very energizing, sodium offsetting overactive function because of too high potassium. So that sodium-potassium ratio is very, very important. Sodium is also going to contribute to maintaining a proper fluid balance, a fluid balance in your tissues and in your cells. When sodium is depleted and there are signs of dehydration in your cells, in your organs, that can be a symptom of reduced activity of that particular function or organ. So anyone listening who's dealing with prescriptions of Lotensin, Vasotec, Zestril, those ACE inhibitor category of blood pressure lowering drugs, very important to pay attention to your zinc levels and your sodium levels. sodium is typically found on a regular serum blood test, but zinc you might have to investigate a little deeper. And once again, if you're listening to naturaldocradio.com, you have learned that there are many different tests available from mdlabtesting.com. So you can find out exactly what nutrients, minerals, vitamins are depleted, possibly associated with what medications you've been prescribed. In another category, there are literally millions of people on drugs meant to regulate blood sugar. Drugs, the brand name Bucophage, or generically known as Metformin, Avandia. Those anti-diabetic drugs do a very efficient job of maintaining balanced blood sugar levels, but they are associated with some very important nutrient deficiencies. Nutrient deficiencies that can contribute, once again, to fatigue, vulnerability to certain viruses, vulnerability with regard to your heart and circulatory function. So if you have been prescribed Metformin or Avandia, some of the areas that you really should investigate would include vitamin B12. Now, I always suggest that if people are focused on supporting a particular individual B vitamin, that you create a foundation with the entire B complex. So you'd want to start with a very, very high quality coenzymated form of B complex vitamins. But the items that you're going to be particularly focused on would include vitamin B12 and folic acid. Vitamin B12 and folic acid, once again, work in concert with one another. They are supportive of one another. If you're deficient in vitamin B12, you might have an excess of folic acid. If you're deficient in folic acid, you might have too high a level of B12, or you might be deficient in both B12 and folic acid. The energy substances, or the ability to support your body in producing energy, are found in B vitamins in general, and in particular with B12. If you're not receiving an injection, a B12 shot, then one of the most efficient ways of supporting your B12 function in your body would be with a sublingual microgram dosage of B12. Sublingual would mean that it is absorbed through the mucous membranes of your mouth directly into your bloodstream. Along with that B12, probably the most important balancing nutrient would be folic acid. And keep in mind that the latest research is showing that the form of folic acid that you want to do the most efficient job of maintaining folic acid levels in your body is folate. And once again, mdlabtesting.com has the capacity to give you the information with regard to the balance of B12 and folic acid in your body, and also to give you a little bit of an evaluation of how efficiently those proper levels of B12 and folic acid are working. Coenzyme Q10 for diabetics is an absolutely superior and critically important nutrient. Coenzyme Q10 is found in every cell of your body, but it is found in the highest concentrations in your heart. When you have low levels of coenzyme Q10 in the cells of your heart muscle, then your heart has to work a little bit harder. It requires greater levels of energy to do the pump function that it's meant to do. When you get to have much lower levels of coenzyme Q10 in your heart muscle cells, then the cells fail to replicate properly. When those cells fail to replicate, then you're having cells in your heart muscle that function very poorly. Once again, requiring much greater energy and not necessarily giving you the kind of cardiovascular function that's necessary to feel well, energized, and maintaining healthy heart function. Coenzyme Q10, when it is in significant deficiency levels, the cells are dying off in your heart muscle, in that tissue. So you can see that if you're on antidiabetic drugs for an extended period of time, without supplementing and supporting your coenzyme Q10 levels, it is virtually impossible to maintain healthy heart function. What's one of the areas of the body that diabetics need to be paying attention to because of the potential for impaired function? Your heart. So, vitamin B12, folic acid in the form of folate, and coenzyme Q10. If you've been taking anti-diabetic drugs for an extended period of time, one of the things that you might want to look for with regard to coenzyme Q10 supplementation would be the form of CoQ10 called ubiquinol. It has the potential to raise your coenzyme Q10 levels in a very, very short period of time. So literally, it is possible to have a transformation using ubiquinol in sufficient doses to support your heart muscle. If you've been using those anti-diabetic drugs, B-complex and a coenzymated form, the most highly absorbable form of B-complex vitamins, and B12, folate, and coenzyme Q10, you're going to experience dramatic feelings of energy, a real turnaround when you're using those nutrients because you have such a great potential for depleting them to the point of creating symptoms. The next area, antibiotics. Such an important area for people to understand that they think, okay, well, if I have an infection, I'll just take an antibiotic and it'll be good. It will kill off the bacteria. It will kill off whatever it is that's making me sick, whether I have a sinus infection, a sore throat, an infected wound, an infected tooth, whatever it might be. And you think, there's the easy way to take care of that infection. Well, those drugs are not without their risks of side effects. And certainly one of the most common side effects associated with using an antibiotic would be a digestive response, a negative digestive response. It could be indigestion, it could be diarrhea, it could be just very, very uncomfortable bloating and gas. So, very important to understand that what you have depleted is the digestive system chemistry, particularly the digestive system chemistry found in your lower digestive tract. And what I'm talking about is the need to replace Acidophilus. When you replace Acidophilus and using Acidophilus in a variety of different types of probiotic microorganisms. There are many different species of Acidophilus bacteria. Very, very important. It has the capacity to overcome those digestive system problems very commonly associated with antibiotics. Some of the antibiotics that people need to know about, Keflex. amoxicillin, Levaquin. And Levaquin kind of stands in a category by itself, along with Cipro, because of the fluoride content in those two quinolone class antibacterial drugs, tetracycline and doxycycline. That's a list of the antibacterial drugs very, very commonly prescribed for a variety of different infections, so common. In addition to lowering the presence of acidophilus in your lower digestive tract, the antibacterial drugs also interfere with your body's ability to absorb vitamin K. Once again, when you disrupt that lower digestive tract chemistry, your ability to absorb fat-soluble nutrients, and in particular vitamin K, is very, very much a situation associated with a wide range of other health issues. So very important to pay attention to your vitamin K levels. And keep in mind that it's easy enough to maintain a chart of your vitamin K status. Vitamin K status not only having to do with blood chemistry and the ability of your blood to clot, but also associated with maintaining bone density and preventing calcium from depositing in your blood vessels, your kidneys, your eyes as cataracts. Calcium deposits in soft tissue create a lot of health challenges, arthritis among them. Think about it. Arthritis is calcium being deposited in the soft tissue between the joints and making those joints much less flexible. Vitamin K is the nutrient, or one of the nutrients, that your body needs to prevent that calcification of soft tissue. Calcium, magnesium, like I mentioned before about potassium and sodium working in concert, calcium and magnesium work in an interactive fashion. And these classes of antibacterial drugs have the potential to interfere with that calcium-magnesium ratio. In addition, potassium, so calcium, magnesium, potassium, those people using an antibacterial drug over an extended period of time, possibly because of dental issues, because of some other infective issue, very important to maintain calcium, potassium, and magnesium in proper ratios, along with supporting your vitamin, your body's vitamin K presence. Another category, these drugs, the blood pressure lowering, the anti-diabetic drug, the antibacterial drug, all very, very commonly used by millions of people. And unfortunately, those millions of people don't necessarily understand that some of the side effects or some of the problems they might be having with that drug can very well be associated with the nutrient depletions. And keep in mind that MDLabTesting.com has the capacity to bring to you exactly the testing you need so that you are not dealing with nutrient deficiencies that cause their own profile of problems. The next category, again, very, very commonly used. I'm talking about things that are meant to reduce the symptoms of digestive problems. If you have gastroesophageal reflux, if you have indigestion, bloating, constipation, a bad taste in your mouth, if certain foods really don't seem to digest very well, a variety of different types of drugs like Zantac, Tagamet, Pepcid, Prevacid, all of those different types of drugs meant to reduce inflammation and reduce the symptoms of digestive discomfort, they too are associated with a range of different nutrient depletions. Vitamin B12. And again, I stress that if you're not getting a B12 shot, then you really do need to use vitamin B12 in its sublingual form, and you need also to support that B12 supplementation with the proper B complex, coenzymated B complex. An area that these drugs, the digestive aid drugs, tends to cause a deficiency is, this one is so very important, vitamin D. When people have their vitamin D levels tested, typically the range that is found on your blood test would be 30 to 100. And if you're at 35, you're at a minimal level of vitamin D. Vitamin D, along with zinc, very important with regard to how your immune system is going to function, how your bone density is going to be maintained. And here's an area I wouldn't necessarily think that the anti-ulcerant type drugs would cause a deficiency in vitamin D. Yet it is an important deficiency that if over the long term you're using things like Pepcid and Prevacid, Prilosec and Zantac, you have a much more significant risk of a vitamin D deficiency. A calcium deficiency, once again, goes along with the vitamin D. The vitamin D and the calcium work together to maintain strong bones, to maintain proper heart rhythm function. Such an important combination of nutrients that need to be supported, and you don't want to be one of those individuals with a deficiency of calcium. You can look at calcium on your blood test. The blood test range would be 8.6 to up to 10.4. And you really do want to keep your calcium range somewhere in the 9s. When it gets too high in the 10 range, then there's a lot of calcium circulating in your blood, possibly indicating that you are at greater risk for calcification of soft tissue. Iron is another area where you may find there is a risk of depletion, a risk of deficiency because of those digestive system drugs. You're just not able to absorb the iron that you need. And once again, with mdlabtesting.com, you can find out the details of how iron is stored in your body, how it's being utilized in your body, and if you might be at risk for an iron deficiency. A viewpoint of your red blood cell, hemoglobin, and hematocrit. Zinc, folic acid, those again remain in the area of nutrients at risk of depletion when you're using drugs that are meant to reduce a digestive problem, Zantac, Tagamet, Pepcid, Prilosec, Prevacid. So a rundown of all of the different depletions associated with those drugs, B12, vitamin D, calcium, iron, folic acid, and remember, when you want to replace folic acid, the preferred form is folate, and of course, zinc, crucially important for supporting your immune system. The next area is very, very interesting. Once again, so many people using so many different versions of these drugs. The benzodiazepines are the ones that I'm referring to now. Things like Valium and Ativan and Xanax, Klonopin. All of of those, very, very commonly used, maybe not every day, possibly on a fairly regular basis for millions of people. And millions of people trying to establish sleep patterns, trying to establish a positive mood, the kind of connection and enthusiasm that they're missing, and they're turning to these classes of drugs to support that. And unfortunately, the very substance that is depleted in their brains may be the identical substance that they need to support their mood and to support their sleep patterns. And what I'm talking about is melatonin. So if you are using any of these types of drugs, the benzodiazepine class of drugs, what is happening is a depletion of the substance produced in your brain that regulates your sleep-wake cycles. Melatonin begins to be produced in response to lowering sunlight. So as the sun tends to go down and night approaches, that is a signal to your body to begin producing melatonin. Melatonin that will establish the proper cycles of sleep and the proper duration of those cycles and the proper number of cycles over the period of the night so that you can awaken refreshed and rested. Melatonin also is associated in its relationship with serotonin, supporting your mood, supporting your view of things. So if you have been using Valium, Ativan, Xanax, Clonopin for an extended period of time, very important to speak with your physician about the potential for using melatonin. Melatonin is available in many different forms. You can get melatonin concentrate that's available drop by drop. And once again, the best way to use that melatonin is to do it a drop or two under your tongue, and you can start at 9:30 in the evening, 10 o'clock in the evening, a drop or two under your tongue, 10:30, another drop or two under your tongue, and then whenever you're ready to turn out the light and go to sleep for the evening, another few drops of melatonin under your tongue. There are a wide range of sublingual tablets, once again, that you can put between your cheek and gum and let them dissolve very slowly. There are melatonin lozenges, very pleasantly flavored, that you can use to dissolve on your tongue. And all the while, the melatonin is being absorbed through the mucous membranes in your mouth directly into your bloodstream. Melatonin tablets and capsules are also available where you're going to be swallowing them. My recommendation is to use some form of sublingual melatonin. And once again, you can test the levels of melatonin circulating in your blood to give an idea of if there has been a significant depletion of melatonin.